Life Audio.
Hello, and welcome to the Daily Bible Podcast with Tricia and Michelle. We're just two friends reading through the Bible chronologically and encouraging you to do the same. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, Daily Bible Podcast, or go to our website, dailybiblepodcast.net. We are going through the one-year chronological Bible, and we have links for that in our show notes and also on our website.
And look for our Facebook community. Just look for Daily Bible Podcast.
And today, let's get started right into our summary, because today was an action-packed day. I mean, it just builds. I don't know why. It just builds on
so
one, on another, on another.
Are you going to tell us what we're reading?
Yeah, I got to do that, don't I? Okay, so we're reading Joshua 7, verse 1. Then we jump over to Chronicles and read one verse in 1 Chronicles 2, that's verse 7. Then we jump back and read the rest of chapter 7 of Joshua, and then also chapter 8 and chapter 9. And I want to just take a second here to learn a little bit about the bigger picture of this book that we are reading. When I'm studying a book of the Bible or reading through the Bible, I like to take some time to understand a few things. Like, first, who wrote the book? Well, the author of Joshua is, Joshua. Mm-hmm. But the book never claims that he wrote that. And there's some thinking that maybe one of the priests had actually wrote the last couple of chapters, when it's more of, a telling of Joshua at his death. And so, but there also seems to be a possible time lapse between when events happen and when the book was written, because there are repeated references to the words "to this day." And you're going to notice that. I keep noticing it. And
me
I'm like,
too,
to
yeah.
this day, to this day, to this day, to this day. So we saw a couple of those yesterday, and we see them today. And we're going to continue seeing them on into the future. And Joshua is part two of what God is doing. He is doing something mighty in the lives of the Israelites. And God brought them out of Egypt in the Exodus. He instructed them on how to live, and he brought them to the Jordan River. We just have read through that over the last couple of months. And now in Joshua, we see him complete his promise of giving them a land flowing with milk and honey, a promise that he gave to Abraham. And oh, by the way, Joshua means Yahweh saves. God
that
saves.
That is awesome.
I just think that is so cool. It's just another one of those reminders that this is an incredible story of God's redemption, not just Joshua, but the entire Bible, on how he's rolling out this redemption story. It's just so cool. So yesterday we saw Jericho defeated and destroyed, totally destroyed, except for Rahab and her family. And remember how God commanded the army not to take any of the things set apart for destruction. He says, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Okay, so when God says something, we've read, he means business. He's not just saying it to say, oh, that's okay. Well, unfortunately, there was one man who either didn't listen to God or just, I don't know. But
he had to know, because he got punished for it. So he had to know the right thing to do.
He had to have known.
And he didn't do it.
He didn't. Anyway, so this man's name is Ahan. And he thought he could get away with plundering some of the precious things. And how this all came about was, Joshua sent some spies to look at the next town that they were going to take. And the spies came back and said, oh yeah, no problem. We can totally take this town. This will be easy to conquer. And so they send a few warriors to take the town, not the entire army, but just a few warriors to take the town. But the Israelites were soundly defeated. Okay, now we go back to that promise again of yesterday, when God said, hey, do not take anything from this town. Destroy the whole town of Jericho. He said, you will bring trouble on the camp. And so Joshua and the elders sought God. And God, of course, came back with Israel, came back and said, no, Israel has sinned against me. They've not only stolen things, but they've lied about them and they've hid them. And we go back to that very first sin. Mm-hmm. Eve saw it. She wanted it. She took it. She kind of lied about it. And then she tried to hide. Yeah. It's what we all do. It's what we all do. Again, God wants his people to be pure. And so the leaders go through the tribes one by one, and then they go through each clan, and then they go through the families, and they finally find Ahan, and he and his family are stoned and burned.
Those are some serious consequences. Yeah. And I think we need to pause here a second, because why did Ahan just confess? it's narrowing down. One by one, the groups of people are getting eliminated, and he must have been sweating bullets. It's getting closer. Oh no,
And you just kind of wonder, is he thinking, well, maybe they won't figure it out? Does he not know who God is? Does he not know that God's in charge of Israel? I mean, does he? I'll hide it. Maybe they won't find it.
They won't find it. But it became clear that God was going to point out the guilty party. And it seems like Ahan maybe clung to the hope that he wouldn't be found out. It's kind of like the security cameras that we have in our house, inside the house, not just outside, inside. And, we originally set them up because my grandma lives with us. And if we're at the store, I'd run to Bible study. I had to have them on so I could see what grandma's doing, make sure she's safe, keep an eye on what's happening. But it's also very useful when everyone in the house denies eating that plate of cookies. So, I didn't do it. Well, somebody ate the cookies because there's just crumbs. So it's amazing, though, that even when one of our kids knows we're going to look at the security camera and we can clearly see, they still wait to be found out, just like Ahan. I don't know. If I feel like I'm going to get in trouble, I'll be like, I did it. I'm sorry. I don't know. But some people, they just...
Because, it had to have taken a long time. I mean, to go tribe by tribe, clan by clan, family by family. That had to... It was almost like God was giving him some time to say, hey, let's be merciful here. Well, yeah. I mean, we know that God said, you will bring trouble on the camp, but it's almost like God gave him time.
But would God have given him mercy if he would have confessed, right away? Hard to know.
I know. We go back to those unintentional sins. And I mean, everything that we read in the law, God is a God you do not trifle with.
Yeah.
I know. Would it have looked differently? We don't know. And now we'll never know.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to the story. So then Joshua and his men tried to conquer Ai again. And it's kind of this really cool story of an ambush, a town set on fire, and teamwork on the Israel side, and ultimately God's victory. And then Joshua built an altar to God. And remember the altars that we talked about over the last month or so? Well, Joshua built an altar, and they presented burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. And after this, Joshua sat down and read the book of instruction. And then finally today, we see the Gibeonites deceiving Israel because, they'd seen what happened to Jericho and they'd started hearing the stories and they were scared to death that was going to happen to them. And so they went to Israel and they said, could you please, we need a peace treaty here. And so without consulting God, Israelites made peace with the Gibeonites.
Yeah. And these passages show that, we honestly can't depend on our own wisdom. So in the midst of our victories, we must seek God. Mm-hmm. So first, the Israelites didn't ask how many warriors they should take to Ai. And then they didn't ask. They just we just need a few. Mm-hmm. And then later, Ahin sinned. He was discovered. And God told Joshua to take all the fighting men, even though it was a little town. And then when it came to the Gibeonites, the Israelites didn't ask God if they should make a treaty. And this was after they had read the whole word of the Lord. So they had just read it. Like, it was just fresh in their minds, and they still made a treaty.
Well, it makes you wonder if they were just too confident. You know, we went through those first several chapters and we were like, yeah, God is on the rampage. You know, there's some incredible miracles happening. And so if you and I are feeling that way, then you know the Israelites were probably feeling that way too. And they're like, yep, God's on our side. Why do we need to, you know, go to him with every little thing? And yeah, we got this. We need to go with him. Go to him with every little thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it said in Joshua 9:14, the Israelites sampled their provisions, talking about the Gibeonites, but they did not inquire of the Lord. Like, oh yeah, your bread's moldy. I'll believe your story that you came from a long way. So yeah, it's important to remember that even when things are going well, we need to seek and ask God. Seeking God is just as important for the victorious times as it is in times of struggle.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. Well, we need to take a break right now, and we need to hear from our sponsor. Then we're going to have the word of the day up next. Okay, so the word of the day is completely, and completely is an adverb. And if you remember from school, from second and third grade, when you started learning about nouns and verbs and adverbs, an adverb is a word or phrase that modifies or qualifies an adjective, verb, or other adverb in a word group. So it's an expressing a relation of place, time, circumstance, manner, cause, degree. Okay, so that's just sort of setting things up for what completely is. Completely means as in totally, to the full extent or degree. So it's something that happens all in, like totally. Totally is totally. And when God says completely, he means completely. He means totally. So he told the Israelites that he wanted Jericho completely destroyed. And today we see what he means when he says completely. Like, he doesn't mean, yeah, there can be a few things here that, you know, that is left. He means completely. So when the Israelites got a second chance at taking Ai, they wiped out the entire population of the town, 12,000 in all. And it just makes me realize God wants all of us. He wants everything. He wants us completely. You know, I moved recently and I packed up boxes, and a crew came and loaded all those boxes in a truck. And I was left with all the last little bits. You know, you've got the dust in the corners. You have a few stragglies here or there, a clothing that fell off the rack or off of the hanger or something. You just have these little bits and pieces that are left. And I had to go through each room, picking up those little things. I needed to clean, and I need to clean every last little bit out, because no one wants to move into a house with left behinds still there. And so I moved everything out completely. I remember walking through that house just as I had signed the papers and handed over the keys, and that house rattled because of just, there was nothing to take in the sound. Yeah. And, you know, my realtor was like, have you taken everything out, Michelle? And I was like, I was able to say, yes, I've taken everything out, moved completely out. You know, and the same is true in our lives. When we let God control our lives, he wants all of us, not just pieces, not even the majority. He wants all. And we see in Psalm 119:10, he says, with all of my heart, I have sought you. This is David talking. With all of my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. And then in Jeremiah 29:13, we see, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. God wants our wholehearted devotion. And when he says that he wants our wholehearted devotion, he wants all of us. He wants the complete thing. He wants us completely his.
And I just love that word picture that you created for us, that God wants it completely wiped out. And, you know, God desires every last bit of our lives, not just pieces or not just the majority, Moving out requires completely clearing out all the left behinds. Just surrendering, just a surrendering to God requires completely surrendering every area of our lives. So again, I always sit there and I say, you know, how does this apply to me? And what questions can I ask? So where do I want victory in my life? Mm-hmm. Where is God asking me to march? Is there a part of my life that I'm holding back from God? What do I need to completely leave behind? I was thinking of this, and years ago, I got convicted reading secular romance novels because the stories were so good. And I'm just going to flip through these little parts of, you know, where it gets too racy or spicy. And God's like, no, I want you to completely not read those. And thankfully, Christian fiction, they don't have those parts, you know, but I love those stories. They were good. Like, it wasn't just the romance part. There were some good stories out there by authors I really liked. And God's like, nope, completely. And I'm like, okay, all right, we're going to do that. So I think each of our lives, there can be something where God's like, do you want victory? Okay, we need to see what needs to be wiped out completely. And I think that's just us sitting before God and asking him to speak to our hearts. I mean, even now I'm thinking, okay, I always say I have this struggle with sugar. Sugar probably too. Have I completely cleaned out my cupboards? No. You know, that's something to think about.
That is something to think about, because I do the same thing. I'm like, I should probably have no chocolate in my house, because I will sit there and eat it all day long. And I think that is so true when we're dealing with those things in our lives that distract us from God. Again, he wants our life complete in him. And so if there's something that is distracting us, that is pulling us apart from him, what do? You make the sacrifice and you get rid of it. And in the end, it isn't a sacrifice, even though at the beginning it was a sacrifice.
Yeah, that's good.
So, well, we need to pray about being completely his. Can you do that for us, Trish?
I would love to. Lord, I thank you for all the times that you bring victory in our lives when we're walking with you, when we can see you working and we think things are going so well. And I just pray that you will help us be completely devoted even during these times. Help us not to depend on our own wisdom, but depend on yours, Lord. And if there's any areas in our life, just prick our minds and point out those areas and say, you know what? You don't need that. We can completely get rid of that. And I pray that you will stir those things in our hearts today, Lord. And we can trust you. You have good things planned for us. We can trust you in this. Mm-hmm. And we just thank you and praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we are sending you off with some daily encouragement to get into the Word and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Again, if you don't have the one-year chronological Bible that we are reading, we have links for that in our show notes and also on our website. You can even find this Bible in the Kindle format and go and listen to the YouVersion. Also in the show notes is a monthly and yearly schedule of the Bible reading plan that we are following. And tomorrow we continue on with Joshua 10, 11, and the first six verses of chapter 12. As we close out today, I just want to take a second to thank the team at Life Audio. You wouldn't be listening to the Daily Bible Podcast without their partnership. Go to lifeaudio.com and you're going to find other great podcasts that are going to encourage you in your walk with God. They've got shows about prayer, about Bible study, and parenting, marriage, so much more. Go check them out, lifeaudio.com.
And we will see you here tomorrow.
Bye-bye.